Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Listen now for a message from the Book of Proverbs recorded during the lifetime and ministry of Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., the founder of Bob Jones University.
My friends, I want you to please follow me as I read two or three verses in the second chapter of the Book of Proverbs. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so wilt thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Now, you notice that verse especially. So if thou incline thine heart to wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasure. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Now, those are wonderful verses. They sound rather deep, but they are not so deep if we'll put them in our ordinary modern English and talk over them in a practical sort of way, which I want to do with you now. Now, what does he say? If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, certain things will happen. Now, what are they? Well, in the first place, if you have God's word in your heart and God's commandment in your heart and the right attitude towards God, you'll get what you ought to have. No man is a wise man unless that man has a proper relation to God. He cannot be a wise man. I read in the Bible a very wonderful statement in the Book of Proverbs. I have a sermon on it. I'll come across it someday and we'll talk about it. This wonderful statement, and yet it's so overwhelming when you think about it. It says, the plowing of the wicked is sin. When I was a boy, that used to worry me a great deal. I young's a man out in the field plowing. And he's earning his bread by the sweat of his brow. And he's taking care of his family. But he's a wicked man. Now, God says that the plowing of the wicked is sin. See? Now, why is that, I used to say? Well, I know why it is. The wicked man doesn't plow for God. He plows for himself. Now, everything that centers in self is a sin. Everything that does not center in the proper relationship to God is not right and cannot be right. Now, God is the sovereign head of this universe, whether you're a Christian or whether you're a sinner. And a man without a God consciousness, and a man who is not related to God, then he can't do right because he's centered in himself. And when you center in yourself, you're centering in the sinful life. Man is a sinner by nature. He's a sinner by choice. When I was a boy, we talked a great deal about that. The old preachers preached about it. They said that men were born in sin, and that's what the Bible said. Said they were conceived in iniquity, that's what the Bible said. We talk about in Adam, all died, that's what the Bible said. In other words, the natural man is not a good man. The natural man's a bad man. He's a sinner. Now, understand that. That hits us pretty hard, doesn't it? But it's not a blow below the belt. God isn't hitting below the belt when he tells you that. He's telling you that so you can be a good man. No man will be a good man until he first knows he's a bad man. No man will be born again until he knows he has to be. No man will ever be saved until he knows he needs a savior. So God's good to us when he tells us what we are. Well, you say that's reflection upon human nature. Well, you don't have to reflect upon human nature. It reflects upon itself. Study history. Go back and turn the pages of the past and look at generation after generation and see what happened to them. You don't have to reflect on human nature. You leave human nature alone, it'll reflect on itself. Now, of course, the presence of the Spirit of God in the world and the Christian influence of the world restrains the flesh. But the flesh, man in the raw, man naturally, is not related to God. Now, remember that now. We'll never get anywhere till we realize that fact. Well, a few years ago, they came along saying that old stuff's wrong. Man's a divine creature. Well, you know, that's what the devil told Eve, you know, and Adam said you can become like God in pursuit of knowledge. So they came along, these modernistic theologians, and said nothing wrong with man. He's neither good, he's not bad. There's a little spark of divinity in the little fella, and all you got to do is to bring him up right, and he'll be all right. Well, he won't be all right, however you bring him up, unless he's born again. Now, you can restrain people with education, and education and law and all that kind of thing will hold back human depravity and keep it somewhat in bounds. But man's a sinner. Now, the man who centers things in himself is always going to get in trouble. He'll never get on the right line. Make something out of yourself, they say. All right? Now, that's feeding self. Somebody says, make something out of yourself. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, crucify yourself. See? Now, all you're to do for yourself, if you're appropriate to God, is to do that you may be a better servant of God. Now, if that's what motivates you, that's all right. Now, if you say, what I want to do is to go out in the world and be the best man, the best woman we can possibly be for God. Like I told our faculty some time ago, I said, now, when Bob Jones University can have a nice plant, when Bob Jones University has no disgrace on the campus, when this school can pay its debts and everything handled decently. Now, that helps our testimony, see, so we can exalt Jesus Christ. Now, that's the purpose, not to have a plant out here just to say, well, look what we plant we have. Look what we have. Look what we've done. Not that. It's to get a show window for the gospel and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if that's a motive, that's a Christian motive. If we want a plant out here just to show off, just to exalt the flesh, it'd be a sin to build a plant. For the plowing of the wicked is sin. That's the clear saying of the Bible. Now, the psalmist says here, if thou hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Now, I go on and say something else now. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Now, that's not enough now. It's not enough to seek knowledge. There's another line here. And lift up thy voice for understanding. Now, there are two things you're crying for. You're crying for knowledge, and then you're crying also for understanding. Now, knowledge and understanding are not the same thing here. Understanding is wisdom. Knowledge is knowing something. Now, there's a difference between understanding and knowing something. For instance, now, a man can come along and be a good mathematician. He said, I want to be a good mathematician. What do you want to be a good mathematician? Well, I like mathematics. I get a kick out of it. I like to work out problems. Well, now, all right, you like mathematics. Yes, you have a taste for mathematics, all right. Who gave you that kind of a mind? Got it from God. All right, now go on and learn mathematics. That's all right. But now, wait a minute, that's knowledge. Now, understanding is using mathematics for the glory of God. Now, a man with knowledge and no understanding may say, I'm smarter than this fellow over here, and I can beat him figuring, and I'll just rob him, see. He hasn't got the right understanding. Now, a man with the right understanding, with the commandments of God in his heart, says, this man hasn't the mathematical mind I have. He isn't as smart as I am. I remember a verse in the Bible that says, ye that are strong, bear the infirmities of the weak. I won't use my knowledge of mathematics to do him any harm. I'll use my knowledge of mathematics to help him when I can. Now, that's understanding. That's wisdom, see. And oh, how people forget that. You know, a man said to me one time, said, I traded horses with a fellow. And he said, I had an old sick horse, looked good, even better than his horse. Said he didn't know he was sick. I just traded with him, see. Sure did make a good deal, got this horse. And I looked at him, I was just a boy. I had a contempt for him. That man over yonder that took his horse didn't know he was getting a sick horse. This man knew his horse was sickly. That man didn't know he was sickly. That man that didn't know the horse was sickly trusted the man that traded him the horse. The man that traded him that horse was a dirty, slimy crook. That's all. Now, if he'd have been an honest man, he would have said to him, now, I want to tell you about this horse. I want to be honest with you. And he'd have told him about the horse. Now, that's wisdom. That's understanding. That's using the knowledge right, see. You know, it's strange about people, what they'll do. You know, I don't understand them. I can't figure it out. I've never been able to figure out. I suppose it's because I was converted as a little boy. It isn't right to rob people just because you have more sense than they have, or know more than they know, or had better advantages than they had. That's wrong. It's terrible. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Years ago, down in Georgia, when I was a young man, I spoke at the Sam Jones Tabernacle in Cartersville. Sam had dead and gone on to heaven. And they told me a story down there about an old man, a very malicious, mean old fellow, that took advantage of a good old colored man out there in the country and put a deal over with that colored man somewhere or other. And Sam Jones was indignant. Sam Jones knew the old colored man. I think he'd worked for him. And Sam went down there to see this prominent white man. But he said, now, you listen to me. You're not going to get away with this thing. You robbed that old colored man just because you knew more than he knew. You took advantage of it. And you're going to fix that up. Old Sam Jones had courage and moral conviction, too, and physical courage. And the fellow said, well, he traded. Yeah, but you robbed the old colored fellow. He's a good man. He's a good old Christian colored man. Honest and upright. Everybody in this country respects him. You robbed him. You're a dirty crook. You're going to fix it. You're going to fix it or I'll turn the indignation of this community against you. And I'll take him to court. I'm not going to let you do it. Now, you see what I'm talking about? This man took advantage of a colored man. Now, if he'd have been a man of wisdom and understanding, he would have helped the colored man. He wouldn't have mistreated him. He wouldn't have used his superior knowledge that he had gained from superior advantages to have robbed that colored man. Now, that's the difference between understanding as God sees it and knowledge. You take advantage of people because you're smart. Get by on some little technical point. Take advantage of people instead of fixing it. You know, men do that sometimes. They sell you something or put something over on you. They're not right. They may have knowledge but not understanding. A man, after all, however much knowledge he may have, who has no understanding, sooner or later, sometime, somewhere, gets in trouble. Now, he said here, keep the commandments of God and cry for knowledge. Seek all the knowledge you can. Learn all you can learn. But when you learn something, use what you're learning, not to hurt any people, but to help people. Use it like you ought to use it. Now, education should be used to bless, not to curse. Music should be used to bless. You know, sometimes music is used to curse people. You know, music is very subtle. You can pervert music. You can make music damn folks. Did you know that? You can take every good thing that man can get, except the saving grace of God, and he can use it to curse somebody, to hurt somebody. You know, a man may be very gifted, may be very eloquent. I knew a lawyer like that one time. He's shrewd as you can be. Very eloquent, very gifted. And I was just a young fellow. I saw him win a case he shouldn't have won. He put over by his oratory with a jury. And I always felt in my heart that thing wasn't right. I just sat and listened to it. But he won his case. He was within the law, all right. The judge saw to that. But he stampeded the jury with eloquence. I knew another lawyer. He got up and said, gentlemen of the jury, I think this is right, but you are the judge. And I want you to be the judge of it. And I don't want to try to influence you against your conviction. I'm here to get the best I can for my client. And I knew way back in that lawyer's mind there was a reservation. He's a Christian man. And the jury went out and brought in a verdict for that attorney. But the attorney was a square, honest man. He didn't try to stampede the jury. Many of them that were out there were uneducated men. It's a dangerous thing in this world. Lest ye that are strong bear the infirmities of the weak. Men of superior training, superior intellect, men of superior opportunities in this world will be good to people that haven't had those advantages and kind and charitable. If I was ever going to take advantage of somebody, I think I'd take advantage of some well-to-do, outstanding, strong fellow. I wouldn't rob the poor and the man that hadn't had advantage. Now, what is it? He said, cry for knowledge. Get all you can. But ask God to give you understanding so you'll know to use knowledge in a way to please God. Our Father, we're living in a world where men are fleshly, in a world where there's much sin and many temptations, and we're all weak. But give us not only knowledge, but give us understanding, an understanding heart, so we'll know what we ought to do, what's right, what's wrong. Make us faithful to Thee. Lead us by Thy Spirit and keep us ever true to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His precious name. Amen.
You have heard a message recorded during the lifetime of the founder of Bob Jones University. Listen daily for messages by Dr. Bob Jones Sr., sponsored by Bob Jones University.